Time now for the 1215 News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's Fairfield area weather forecast calls for partly cloudy skies with a high of 52. Tonight, clear with a low of 28. I'm Jeff Vaughn, reporting the news. The 2018-2019 Wayne City High School Prom Court has been announced. Senior girls in the court include Hannah Cooper, Caitlin Dickey, Chastity Greenwalt, McKenna Kelly, and Kennedy Sledge. The senior boys are Cole Clark, Isaac Loker, Kyle Sledge, Dalton Smith, and Marshall White. Juniors include Leah Marvel, Libby Williams, Kyle Bora, and Travis Dickey. Kendi Anderson, Jaden Boyd, Jarrett Lewis, and Adam Loker will represent the sophomore class, and freshmen Lauren Bass, Lizzie Landreth, Cody Conover, and Taj McKinney round out the court. Molly McNeil and Nate Barbie will be the mistress and master of ceremonies for the prom. Presley Kelly and Cade Anselment were selected as the little princess and prince. Wayne City's prom is scheduled for Saturday, March 30th. More news next.
Make your fitness goals with Frontier Community College for a happy, healthier you. We offer several exercise classes for all ages at the Bobcat Den, including yoga, Pilates, cardio, and more. Monthly and annual memberships are also available from our fitness center to use Monday through Saturday. If you'd like to sign up for an exercise class, call Frontier Community College at 842-3711.
In other news, 45-year-old Johnsonville resident Brent R. Petticord was arrested by Wayne County deputies yesterday morning on a Wayne County warrant for petition to revoke probation on a charge of aggravated domestic battery. Petticord was transported to the Wayne County Jail and held pending the posting of $2,520 bond. 42-year-old Fairfield resident Brian S. Medler was arrested by Fairfield police last night on a charge of driving with a suspended license. According to police reports, at approximately 9:16, officers observed a white SUV operating with a cracked taillight and no registration at the intersection of West Main Street and Frontier Drive. Police conducted a traffic stop and took Medler into custody. He was transported to the Wayne County Jail and held, pending the posting of $170 bond. 62-year-old Waterloo resident Asghar Sultanipana was uninjured after a Saturday morning accident on Interstate 64. According to police reports, at approximately 4:35, Sultanipana was headed west on 64 in a 2006 Nissan Frontier. As he went over a bridge near mile marker 108, he struck ice on the roadway, lost control of the vehicle, and went off the right side of the road. He went through a fence and struck several trees before coming to a rest. A tow truck was called to the scene, and the vehicle sustained over $1,500 damage. This was the second accident near mile marker 108 on I-64 this month. An accident over the weekend at Hamilton County Coal Mine No. 1 near Dahlgren claimed a miner's life. According to Hamilton County Coroner Steve Bowling, Equality resident John Ditterline was pronounced dead at 4:45 a.m. on Saturday. Co-workers reportedly found Ditterline pinned underground between an airlock door and a coal rib around 3:30 Saturday morning. Employees tried to resuscitate him, but they were unable to do so. An ambulance took Ditterline to an area hospital, where he died. Ditterline worked for S&L Industries, based in Clay, Kentucky. A Central Illinois congressman has introduced a measure to designate the site of the 1908 race riots in Springfield as a National Historic Monument. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis says the site is an important part of the history of Springfield and the nation. He says the designation will ensure the site's history, quote, is nationally recognized and preserved. A white mob destroyed black-owned businesses and homes in Springfield during the riots. Two men were lynched, and the events prompted civil rights activists in New York to hold meetings, leading to the formation of the NAACP. The remains of some of the destroyed homes were found during a 2014 construction project. The National Park Service has agreed to conduct a preliminary assessment of the site, which is typically required for a designation. The Fairfield City Council will meet tonight at 6 at City Hall with a light business agenda on hand. One of the items to be discussed is the city's payment services network, which allows residents to pay their bills online. Mayor Brent McGuire, appearing on the Community Connection, says the network's usage has grown substantially.
But we have seen a very steady increase from the beginning. In the first month in July, we had 44 transactions. That's all we had. Last month, we had 300. Consistently, each and every month, there's continued to be more and more users. But there's probably an equal number, if not maybe a little bit more, that of people who already do like an ACH through their bank. So we would like to see both of those expand.
Mayor McGuire says the service is a convenience, and electronic payments can also be set up to be automatically paid. He also noted that citizens pay no extra fees with the payment services network, as the city absorbs them. In other business, the council is expected to approve an ordinance that would allow the mayor to authorize people to hunt geese at the Fairfield Public Golf Course. In 2009, the Fairfield mayor allowed several individuals to hunt them, but the ordinance tonight would formalize the process. The Albion City Council met in regular session last night. Mark Curtis reports.
The Albion City Council met in a regular session Monday night. The council, under old business, discussed at length an engineer's estimate to rebrick, concrete, or asphalt Elm Street from 7th to 4th Street. The estimate from Charleston Engineering to rebrick the street, $1.2 million. Concrete, $560,000, and asphalt, $635,000. The discussion again was what to do with the old brick street, which now has patches crossing the main roadway, and the current curb and gutter is broken and is allowing water to access the underneath of the brick, causing some heaving of the street. The discussion, which lasted over 1 hour, which included a question from an alderman to the city treasurer, Cindy Gracialny, if the city currently has the money for any of the projects, which the treasurer said not in any one fund. The city does, however, have $150,000 donation if the brick street is repaired, and there also is $150,000 in motor fuel tax money available. It was also mentioned to place the brick street question on the ballot for the residents of Albion to vote and answer to that question on brick streets. No action taken there either. The main discussion ended in some motions being made. The first motion was to put out a bid spec for concrete and total brick replacement without an amendment to allow the patching of the brick on the current street. That motion passed 4-2. However, that motion should have included the amendment to allow patching. The final motion from Gary Mason was for no work to be done to the streets, and the council agreed. The engineer packed up his drawings and headed for home. The council seemed interested in allowing the bowling alley to remain open and able to serve until 1 a.m. on Friday night after Joe Rivers, owner of the bowling alley, told the council that about 40 Champion workers had approached him about a league bowling at the bowling alley after their work ended. The council will vote on the extra hour of being open at next month's meeting. Kiefer Brothers Construction will be paid $22,776.86 for work on the Pinch water line. City Clerk Melissa Felling told the council that the enterprise zone for business improvements was approved. Businesses who would like to make improvements to their property in the downtown area of the city of Albion will, if they apply for the relief, not have to pay sales tax on materials used. The oil and chip program is gearing up for the summer months. The estimate this year for the program, $60,000. Reporting for the News Leader from Edwards County, this is Mark Curtis.
The Fairfield Fire Department responded to 546 total incidents in 2018. That's down from 571 in 2017. According to a release from the department, 459, or about 84% of those responses, were for EMS assists. 17 responses were to motor vehicle collisions, and 12 were for structure fires. The department says structures received a total of approximately $76,000 in fire damage on the year. Two other categories garnered double-digit responses. Automatic alarms led to 11 total responses, and 10 came from carbon monoxide checks. Though the response numbers were down last year compared to 2017, they were up compared to both 2016 and 2015. 2016 saw a four-year low of 471 total responses, and 504 were reported in 2015. Frontier Community College is currently accepting applications for the college's nursing program, which is provided through Olney Central College on FCC's campus. Applications for the Fall 2019 Associate Degree in Nursing program are being accepted through Friday, February 15th, and FCC encourages interested students to apply as soon as possible. All applicants must attend one informational meeting on FCC's campus, and they may reserve a seat by calling the nursing department at 842-3711. All meetings will be held in Room 105 of the Learning Resource Center. Applicants may choose from three dates: tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m., Friday, January 18th from 2 to 3 p.m., or Thursday, February 14th from 10 to 11 a.m. Applicants must also take the Test of Essential Academic Skills exam prior to enrolling in the nursing program. The exam may be taken up to two times, and students must score at the proficient level or higher prior to the application deadline of February 15th. To register for the exam, visit atitesting.com. FCC has scheduled three separate testing dates to choose from. They are Friday, January 18th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Friday, February 8th from 1 to 5 p.m., and both of those are in Mason Hall, Room 24, or Tuesday, February 12th from 1 to 5 p.m. in the Workforce Development Center, Room 32. To reserve a seat in one of the informational meetings, or for more information about the nursing program, call FCC's Nursing Department at 842-3711. A complete list of application requirements can be obtained from the Nursing Department or online at iecc.edu/nursing. Mount Vernon police are investigating a reported shooting from yesterday afternoon. At approximately 2 p.m., a 21-year-old male victim from Chicago reportedly went to a residence on 17th Street and told residents he had been shot and needed medical help. The victim was transported to a local hospital, but was then airlifted to a St. Louis area hospital for treatment. Callers reported hearing multiple shots in the area at the time. Police, fire, and EMS responded to the scene, and detectives from the Mount Vernon Police Department have taken over the investigation. Anyone with information is asked to call the Mount Vernon Police Department at 242-2131 or Jefferson County Crime Stoppers at 242-8477. Mild temperatures have led to soggy ground for much of Illinois this month, and that is not a good thing for those on the farm who could use a good freeze, says DTN ag meteorologist Bryce Anderson.
You know, there are a couple of benefits with that. I think that, you know, for winter crops, it obviously keeps things in a real dormant state, and that's a, you know, that's good. Soil moisture would be, you know, obviously locked into the ground. Any fertilizer that got put on would not be in the potential area of volatilizing and losing its effectiveness. So it would be good to have a definite identified length of time where conditions are on the colder side. And then, of course, we think about horticultural crops. You don't want to have the flowering cycle get out of kilter. With an unseasonable warm snap and everything to kind of shake up the process or the procedure for flowering and early growth and all of that, putting trees into a vulnerable state. We saw some damage with that a year ago in the blueberry crop down in Georgia. Yeah, it would be good to see that, but I do think that we are going to have a variability factor that's going to be pretty high in January.
Temperatures were well above 50 in most parts of Illinois yesterday, but by tomorrow night, most overnight lows should be back in the teens or low 20s. That's the news. Area deaths next.
At Hamilton Memorial Family Clinics, your family's care team is close to home. But it's not just about convenience. It's compassionate, quality care. From routine care, vaccines, and DOT physicals, to acute needs like disease management, x-ray, and lab work. Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics in Carmine and McLeansboro have you covered. Plus, same-day appointments are available and a Carmine walk-in clinic on Saturdays for those unexpected illnesses. With six providers and eight specialty care clinics, maybe it's time to take another look at Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics. Family Clinics.
Small business is the backbone of our communities. It's a good feeling to know that one loan to a business benefits everyone in the community, not just that business. Hi, this is Matt Moore, commercial banker of People's National Bank in Fairfield. We pride ourselves on providing quality products and services to meet the banking needs for the people that work and live right here. Since 1909, our focus continues on you, our customers. People's National Bank, it's our people that make a difference since 1909. Member FDIC.
Currently in Fairfield, it is 54. It is time now to check the latest stock market numbers brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial advisor, located at 1001 Commerce Drive in Fairfield. The Dow was at 23,695, up 164. The NASDAQ is at 6,863, up 40. February crude oil is at $49.54. That is up $1.02. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. There will be a celebration of life service for William Heldenbrand on Saturday at the West Salem United Methodist Church at 3 p.m. 82-year-old McLeansboro resident Betty L. Drew died Sunday at the Hamilton Memorial Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. She was a member of the Blooming Grove Baptist Church. Betty Drew is survived by her children, Richard Drew and Janet Flanagan, both of McLeansboro, 5 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, and 2 sisters, Alice Springer of Pawnee and Sue Tedford of McLeansboro. A graveside funeral service for Betty Drew will be held on Friday at 11 o'clock a.m. at the Blooming Grove Cemetery. Those attending the service are asked to meet at the cemetery. Memorial donations may be made to SSM Hospice, and they will be accepted at the Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro, which is in charge of arrangements. 76-year-old Fairfield resident Jim Onstott died at 12:42 a.m. on Saturday at Deaconess Gateway Hospital in Newburgh, Indiana. He was a career salesman and was very active in the Shriners. Jim Onstott is survived by his wife, Berta Onstott of Fairfield, son Tim Onstott of Rosedale, Indiana, daughters Daphne Pruitt of Fairfield and Aaron Townsend of Edwardsville, 13 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and 1 brother, Walter Lee Hatcher of Washington, Missouri. Funeral services for Jim Onstott will be at 11 o'clock a.m. on Friday at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Per Jim's wishes, his body will be cremated after the service. Memorials may be made to the St. Louis Shriners Hospital for Children, and they will be accepted at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home, which is in charge of arrangements. 79-year-old Jeff resident Norma Murphy died at 6:14 p.m. on Sunday at Fairfield Memorial Hospital. She was a homemaker and helped her husband farm for many years. Norma Murphy is survived by her husband, Larry Murphy of Jeff, son Marty Murphy of Jeff, daughters Donna Freimeyer of Fairfield, Sheila Cross of Mount Vernon, Susan Buchanan of Fairfield, and Lisa Campbell of Fairfield, 9 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, sisters Shirley Legg of Fairfield and Gladys Young of Fairfield, and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Norma Murphy will be held at noon on Thursday at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home, with burial to follow in Buckeye Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. until the time of service. Memorials in her honor may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Private family services were held Sunday for Barrett Paul Leakey, son of Bryce Leakey and Brianne Leakey. Barrett Leakey is survived by a sister, Briley, his parents, 1 nephew, several cousins, 4 grandparents, 6 great-grandparents, and 2 great-great-grandmothers. The Harry Funeral Home of McLeansboro was in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
Save money on quality discount groceries found only at your Save-A-Lot store in Fairfield. Now through Saturday, a head of lettuce, 99 cents. Whole boneless pork loins, $1.69 a pound. Beef T-bones, $4.29 a pound. And 3-pound Gala apples, $1.59. Prices good through Saturday. Good food, great people, great prices at your Save-A-Lot store, West Main and Fairfield. Looking for a little more comfort in your life? Call the expert Complete HVAC and Plumbing, your Carrier dealer. Carrier dealers are the authorities at getting peak performance from your heating and cooling system. So call your Carrier dealer first. He has ways of making you very comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts. Call Sam or Kara at Complete HVAC and Plumbing and sign up for a service agreement check of your system. They have three levels of service agreements to choose from, so call 445-3329 and schedule your service today.
Here's your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 Fairfield area weather for today. Partly cloudy skies and a high of 52. Clear skies tonight, a low of 28, and then sunny and colder tomorrow. Tomorrow's high will be around 35. The outlook for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, partly sunny on Thursday, a high of 32 and low of 20. Cloudy skies on Friday. Friday's high will be around 38 with a low of 30, and then a chance for snow on Saturday. Saturday's high will be around 35 with a low around 28.